a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning for another half hour, and welcome to the executive board meeting. I will have the new secretary. Good morning. Hi. Welcome to our committee meeting. Call the roll.
Senators Brown.
Here.
Heineman.
Here.
Lucas.
Here.
Peters. Soholt.
Here. I don't think she had to.
Thiessen.
Here.
Representatives Gosch.
Here.
Holly. Hoffman.
Here.
Letterell.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Tyler.
Here.
Westra.
Here.
Carson?
Here.
Senator Maher?
Here.
Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you. We have a quorum. Do I have a motion to approve last minutes of the November 18th and 19th meeting?
So moved.
Motion by Hoffman, seconded by Carson. All those in favor of the minutes approval? Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next, any additions or deletions to the agenda?
I move we take the EB-5 discussion off.
Do I have a second? By motion by Olson, second by Carson. Any discussion on that, Representative Carson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that anything that we, at this point in time, discuss about the EB-5, is, as long as it's under investigation by the federal government, is very premature. If a trial was to come out of this, or some charges were to be brought out of this, there could be some major ramifications for this legislature.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Representative Tyler.
Yes, thank you. Very disappointed in this motion. You have no idea what I'm going to talk about. You have closed your minds to any discussion, and this whole thing with this EB-5 thing, it is our state's responsibility to monitor this program, and we didn't do it. We don't even have a clue what investigations are happening. And to totally ignore this discussion as an e-board is unfathomable. It's, I don't even know what to say. Absolutely ridiculous.
What's the motion?
Representative Gosch, it's to remove EB-5 from the agenda. Senator Heineman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, in terms of the comment that we don't have a clue what the investigations are going on, of course we do know what the investigations are going on. You know, the Attorney General has come out with his report. We know that at the federal level we have both the FBI and U.S. Attorney Brendan Johnson investigating or inquiring into, and we're not exactly sure what they're covering, but that's of the EB-5 program. That's a federal investigation that we probably don't have the information and can't get the information until they come out with their final report. At the state level, the governor has hired an independent third-party financial audit, and also we have our own legislative audit that is auditing GOED's records from, I think, 10 through 13. Now, there are many, many investigations going on, and when we get those results, obviously the legislature is very interested in what happened. First of all, it's a personal tragedy, but also we want to know exactly what happened. And when we get all those inquiries, those five different reports, if there is something that is a legislative body we need to look at, and there very well may be, we have GOAC, and we will look at those because everyone is interested in what's happening. But for us to jump in now when there are obviously many other investigations going on, we need to see what the evidence or what the results from those come out. Then we need to see where we fit in and what has to happen in terms of any oversight or in terms of any changes that we need to make. But to say that there aren't any investigations and we're not, again, especially when our own legislative audit is involved, that just isn't the case.
Senator Thiessen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, believe it or not, I think I agree with all the previous speakers. I don't think that now is the time to proceed. I think we ought to give deference to our criminal investigations, both the state and the federal ones. I think we need to keep our powder dry, so to speak, for the time being, and see what the results of those are. On the other hand, this is an issue for the legislature, and we will be reviewing this at some point. It's our responsibility to review this, either to review what's happened and what needs to be done about the past, but maybe more importantly, how we need to protect ourselves from future incidents that may come to light as a result of the investigation. So, I'm not opposed to discussing this and talking about what the future holds for the legislature's involvement in this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Cheesen. Any further comments? Senator Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't disagree. There's some criminal issues out there that maybe we not ought to jump into, but what I do know and what we all know is that $550,000 went the wrong way, and that could be in Mr. Benda's estate, and then his ex-wife does not want that opened up, and the Attorney General has agreed to not let the press look at the issues around his death, including, I would assume, that money. So I guess I wonder if we'll ever get the money back, because I think that money was used for the wrong purpose, and it should come back to the taxpayers or to the state of South Dakota. And I don't know how we can get it unless we start asking questions and investigating it ourselves.
Senator Brown.
Sure. Well, look, I think some excellent points were made. This is absolutely an issue for the legislature, and when we know what the folks that we've hired as taxpayers, these investigators, when they conclude those investigations and they do their job, we'll be at a point where we can decide what needs to happen after that to prevent anything in the future if there was something indeed done that was wrong. I think it's pure speculation at this point to assume what that might be. There are only two possible purposes I could see for this particular committee to engage in that discussion today. One would be to give us a lecture on the technicalities of that program so we understood how it worked. Quite frankly, if I were going to get that kind of information, I would prefer it came from someone who's actually had experience with EB-5 transactions and not a retired school teacher. If, on the other hand, it's not a lecture, then clearly it's either just a partisan fishing trip or we're trying to talk about criminal wrongdoing that this committee, quite frankly, is not designed for. So I think this is strictly a matter of timing, and when the time is appropriate, trust me, the legislature will get engaged when we know what went wrong and what the proposed solutions are to that, and we will determine whether or not we think those are adequate or if there are further steps that we need to take as a body to ensure that future taxpayer dollars are secure. But with that, I certainly would support Representative Olson's motion to take this off of the agenda, and we'll discuss it in a time when it's appropriate.
Mr. Chair.
Speaker Gosch.
Yeah, thank you. I'm still a little confused as to what all happened. I mean, I know last meeting we had an agenda. There was a motion to add this topic to the agenda. There was discussion, and that was voted down. And now on this agenda, it appears, and now there's a motion to remove it, and we're having discussion again on the same topic we've already discussed. What I'd like to say is if Representative Tyler has information that we need to see, then by all means, please present it to us in an email, mail it to us. If you think you've got facts to support information that has not been determined or found out yet by the federal investigators, namely the U.S. Attorney Brendan Johnson, then let us know so we can take a look into it. But I haven't seen anything from you yet. Thank you.
Representative Latterell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just noticing that the Executive Board Committee is charged primarily with overseeing the legislative branch and the legislative staff. To my knowledge, I don't know that we've had direct involvement in any of our staff with this issue, and we're also charged with handling interim issues that may come up. And seeing as how this investigation is still ongoing and the legislative session is upon us, this is an issue that is very concerning to me. I'm very interested in finding out what has happened here, but also the rest of the House and the Senate are also very interested in finding out what has happened here. So I believe that the upcoming legislative session will provide the appropriate forum for us to discuss this as the body as a whole, wait for any reports that may come out from investigations, and then we can appoint a special committee or task force that is solely focused on this topic if we so choose. So I don't see this time and this forum to be the appropriate place to address it. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a motion before you to remove EB5 from discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. The agenda is amended.
No, I'd like a roll call vote on that, please.
Yes. Please state your point.
She was requesting a roll call vote. Procedurally, she has to do that before the vote is taken.
Thank you. Yes, that is correct. Moving on to the full agenda, we have a preliminary report. I guess we're going to go into management team reports, and I will turn that over to Director Schoenfeld.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With your leave, I'll make my part of the report from here. The management report this time is a little thin. It hasn't been a long time since our last meeting. A lot of the effort, staff effort, since that time is reflected in today's agenda. And Annie had a routine medical appointment, but if she tried to reschedule it, it was not until July. So we told her she better take it while she had it. I believe that the session preparation, at least our part of it, is pretty much on track. The renovations are either done or we're in the process of finishing them up. The new audiovisual facilities for rooms 423 and 464 are in place and tested. I think the new chairs for 423 will be delivered this week. The pages and intern programs are okay, I'm advised, and I think we are pretty well complete with hiring the session staff. I'm working with the presiding officers on the appointments for the joint select and the standing committees, and that's moving along. I think the new LRC employees are settling in. We've made some adjustments in the office space, which you'll see as you walk around the office, and that's pretty much done. A lot of my time has been devoted to support of the personnel subcommittee regarding the selection of a permanent director. You'll get a report from that committee later in the agenda. We included Annie's report on the year-to-date budget performance in the packet. It's running pretty much on track, except there was a payout to Director Fry, which bumped up some of the expenditures. Carol's here if there are any specific questions about variance. I think most of Annie's effort has been consumed with support of the Joint Committee on Appropriations. They managed to get the budget call out. She has made new assignments, agency assignments for the staff of the fiscal staff, with the idea of beefing up cross-training and backup if somebody goes down during the session. And finally, there's a new plan and schedule for Appropriations Committee hearing of the agency budget. This is something co-chair Peters probably will want to unveil herself, but I think you'll be most interested when you see it. They've been quite creative, and I think they have made significant improvements. So essentially that's my part of it, and I guess Doug's turn is next. If
welcome, Doug. Please come forward.
Good morning, members of the committee. Doug Decker of Code Council. My part of the management team report deals with the confidentiality agreement. What that arose from a recommendation that NCSL had regarding the computer systems that the legislature uses and that the state uses. And there was a recommendation there to have a separate computer system to maintain confidentiality and separation of powers and things of that nature. Well, in researching that, you know, it was discovered that it was quite expensive in equipment and staff. And in looking at what other parts of state government do, I discovered or discussed with the Attorney General's office how they handle their confidentiality that they need to maintain regarding investigations and other items. And I learned in talking with members of their staff that the Attorney General's office used to have their own separate computer system and IT staff, and it got to be too expensive for them to maintain. So they folded their operation into the state system, and a way to address their needs for confidentiality, they entered into an agreement with the Bureau of Information and Technology regarding confidentiality, so that what you will see later this afternoon is a draft confidentiality agreement between the Legislative Research Council and the Bureau of Information and Telecommunications. And it's modeled after the Attorney General's agreement. And my thought being that if it works for the Attorney General's office and their sensitive needs regarding confidentiality, I think we can incorporate the same system for the legislature. And that's where that agreement, that proposal has come. I haven't, or Fred hasn't, and I haven't shared it with BIT yet. We wanted to get sign-off from the executive board first, but they are aware that it may be coming, and I've also discussed some of the provisions of this agreement with members of the Attorney General's staff. Now, that'll conclude my remarks.
Are there any questions for Doug? Seeing none, Ruben?
Ruben is next, yeah.
All right. Yes, Phyllis?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just thank you to Doug for initiating this action. I mean, that was one of the recommendations in terms of whether we should separate ourselves, and I think this was a good intermediate step. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you. Ruben.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Ruben Beswitz. I'm Chief of Legal Services and Research for the South Dakota Legislative Research Council. You may not be aware of it, but today is the first day for pre-filing of bills. And the Chair will remember that at the Governor's Day speech, we talked about the introduction of the bill coming out of the NCSL audit as being Senate Bill Number 1. We're always looking for a bill of importance, but not one of extreme critical situation where we could it could be given more detention than it necessarily deserves by being tapped as number one. Typically, we don't get a lot of pre-files anymore. We used to until right at the end when the agency bills came in. But this year, because of the activity primarily of the Domestic Abuse Committee and the Education Committee, there will be a fair number. And unless this group has some reason not to go forward with those, I'll be starting putting those on after you folks go home today. Another thing to report to you is, of course, one of our great concerns is always when the agency bills come in. And the agencies did start to come in about 10 days ago. That's excellent. So far, you know, there really has been a relatively small percentage of the total coming in, but anything that we can get done before Christmas is a huge help to the office. We'll get more attention. You know, we'll have more communication back and forth between the agency and the LRC as far as questions going beyond style and form are concerned, and so I believe that's a huge help to everyone. I've told you before that I had intended to bring in a couple of committee secretaries, quite possibly Tracy, who's working with you today, to do the proofing on those bills, but quite frankly, I've decided to use Roxy, the new attorney that's been hired, to do that. The system that we go through is that Dave intakes these agency bills and does the first edit. They come to me and I do the second edit. Then they go to the back room, Rhonda, who does the typing. And now we've inserted the new step that they'll come back to Roxy, who will not only proof for typos and bad grammar and things that you didn't get the attention that they should have when Dave and I were hurrying through them. Plus, it's a good learning technique for her. She can view the changes that Dave and I have made on those bills, and it's kind of a learn-as-you-go process that helps in her overall schooling situation. I also have good news to report on the corrections fiscal note situation. As you're aware, I've on several occasions expressed my concern about those in the past, but after meeting with Greg Satizon and having discussions with Jim Seward and Speaker Gosch, we are now in a process of organizing a meeting which will take place Wednesday at 1 o'clock, where we're going to bring all of the players who have indicated an interest in facilitating better corrections fiscal notes than I was able to achieve under Speaker Hood a number of years ago, because I didn't have, as I do this time, the willing cooperation of UJS and the Department of Corrections. I'm in the process of writing up some protocols and some methodologies so that if we can get the group to agree on those, we will have a situation in place where, rather than just saying we made the best guess we could, we'd be applying a methodology based on what's happening in other states and refining that by the difference in population or demographics between those other states and our state. I'd also like to see, as a matter of course, a range, possibly plus or minus 10%, so that we give ourselves some latitude to be right or wrong in these and still make it meaningful to the legislators who view these particular reports. So I'm very encouraged about that particular development. We mentioned Roxanne Hammond, who has come to work for us the weekend after Thanksgiving. We've started her schooling. It's interesting because in the past I've always done the bill drafting school by myself. This time I have Amanda to help me, and I think that's really a good cross-fertilization process. Amanda emphasizes some things that I don't, and we kind of clean up after each other. She's been very receptive. I'm more and more certain that we've made a good selection there. The other thing I'd like to report is that the bills in general from the legislators are coming in much stronger at this point in time than they usually do. Right at the moment, we've got about 310 bills that are in the lawmaker machine. Typically, even with the number of agency bills that are in, which are probably no more than 20 at this particular time, the number would be more like 200 than 300. So I do anticipate that there's going to be a relatively heavy bill flow this particular year. And that gives me entree, I think, to talk about one thing that I really hope continues this process of the staff communicating to you folks some of the things that you need to know about the way things work. Now, obviously, with 310 bills in the system already, and probably going to have, in addition to the agencies, at least another 60 individual introduction bills by the start of session, there's lots of bills out there that are ready to go into the system if the prime sponsor wants to put them in. But we've had a certain amount of reluctance in the past to have individual sponsors put those bills in until the last minute. And I understand why that is. If they come in that kind of quiescent period between the end of the agency bills and the start of the mass introduction at deadline unlimited introduction, they tend to get a little more scrutiny in committees than they might otherwise have. Nevertheless, I want you to understand that the staff, certainly I, have opposed the three-day rule right from the beginning. It does nothing for the staff, and so many legislators think that the LRC somehow imposed this rule upon you when in fact, it was the other way around. The three-day rule does serve some legitimate purpose in that it does get some of those bills into the system 3 or 4 days quicker than they would if unlimited was on the last day for bill introduction. But in practical effect, what happens is the bill drafting time period that we have, which is very, very short compared to any other state, is cut down by 3 more days in that we don't really have much to do in the way of new drafts once unlimited passes, because everybody wants to get their bill in and on exactly that date where they can reserve their final 3 bills, but they haven't got them in so fast that they think they're going to receive scrutiny in those particular committees. So one of the most exasperating criticisms that the staff hears from time to time is, well, we don't know where the bills are. The LRC must be sitting on them. I can assure you that is that not the case in any particular year. During that quiescent period, there are always at least 150, more likely 200 bills out there floating that could be introduced at any particular time to make better use of that low period between the agency bills and when the bills start coming in from unlimited introduction. So I'm not here asking you to change the three-day year this particular year. Certainly the calendar's already been set. We've dealt with it in the past. We'll deal with it again. But please understand that if your colleagues are not introducing bills, it has nothing to do with the LRC per se. It's their decision as to when they put those bills in. And I would hope that, you know, if the leadership and the caucuses would emphasize the importance of at least getting a few contentious bills into the process right after the agency situation goes, that you could do your work better in committees and it would have no impact upon LRC and their bill drafting process whatsoever. That's my report.
Thank you. Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Ruben, from your perspective and the staff's perspective, if we were to change that, do you have a particular recommendation that you think would help that situation?
Well, if I had my druthers, I'd rather have a longer bill drafting period. However, I certainly understand, and the staff understands, that you have some concern to make good use of your committee time during the third and fourth weeks, which are usually the lull period between dispensing with the agency bills and getting any kind of new flow. I've looked at other states and, you know, the requirements to have people put in so many bills in such and such a time, you know, if you put in a bill during the second week, you get the right to put in 2 bills in the fourth week, that kind of bookkeeping stuff just doesn't work. I'd really like to try the component of leadership and caucuses stressing more vigorously that it helps everybody, it helps the process to get your bills introduced so that they can start being considered no later than the beginning of the third week. I think that's the best and easiest answer for anybody, and from talking to people about what goes on in caucus, it's really been my impression that leadership and caucus leaders haven't stressed that enough in the past. You know, the other thing is, you know, I know exactly where this rush at the end comes from. It comes from Joe Barnett, who was great at fishing in troubled waters. But believe me, as I look around the room, no disparagement to anybody, none of you are quite the troubled water fisherman that Joe Barnett was. So as much as they may think they're gaining something by putting their bills in and then trying to fish them out of troubled waters, they're probably doing themselves a disservice by not arranging for a more orderly way of hearing about bills.
Any further questions for Ruben? Senator Lucas?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, Ruben, one of the issues is always getting the physical signatures on the bill drafts with the sign-up sheet. So can legislators submit signatures electronically if they want to get a bill pre-filed and have those co-sponsors done that way?
Yes, we've done that before. I mean, I invented the sign-up sheet, and I wouldn't want to be without it because in the old days we used to get 7-8 copies with names and initials scribbled here and there. But as long as the legislator takes ownership, I will take his word or her word that they have such and such on the bill for pre-filing or even, you know, for a quick introduction for some reason or another. But I think so many people now feel comfortable with the sign-up sheet that it would be relatively difficult to accommodate more than a few bills that way in any particular year, because most legislators don't want to give their permission to have a name on a bill unless they've signed a sign-up sheet so they know exactly what their situation is.
Any further questions? Senator Cheeson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick comment. First of all, I appreciate the work on the fiscal notes. It seems to me like that we get a better product and maybe less effort to try to come around to that better product, so I appreciate that. I also appreciate the beginning, at least, of the cooperation from executive branch on getting the agency bills over. That is an improvement. Hopefully that improvement will continue. I know Mr. Seward indicated to me that he would continue to work hard to try to get those available, so hopefully you'll see some more before Christmas time comes. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruben. Thank you. Does Carol come forward? Is Carol coming forward? Carol?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Ready for
All right, I guess we can
reschedule that Mr. Decker, along with assistance from other staff members, put together. We reviewed that further today. And we agreed that both the mission statement and the services we provide sections need further consideration. We don't see any sort of glaring errors necessarily. There's no fatal flaws in the way it is currently, but I think it can be improved maybe by streamlining the mission statement as well as maybe further itemizing the services we provide portion of it. We also decided that this document needs to be reviewed annually, and so we propose to do that at the beginning of each fiscal year. Other than that, there were a couple of typographical changes that don't affect any of the meaning of the document. In addition, on page 5, under the harassment policy portion, we agreed to remove an example of harassment. Doesn't really, again, change materially the meaning of the document, but we propose to remove example number 6 from the harassment policy. Otherwise, we are comfortable that we've made great strides in this area. We think this document is something that is not only usable for staff, but as well as legislators, and it'll be available on the website for the public. Mr. Decker is here, and he could answer further questions about his research in this. He tried not to reinvent the wheel and picked parts from a variety of other agencies, including some state agencies, in putting together this personnel manual. So I'd be happy to try to answer any questions that you might have, and have a motion when it's appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Teason. Are there any questions for Senator Teason? Senator Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a couple. Senator Teason, since you mentioned that the harassment issue, and it says in there the state and the LRC will investigate all complaints, but it doesn't specify when. And usually there's a timeline, so many weeks or so many days, if there is a complaint brought forth, that the investigation would have started. Maybe Mr. Decker could tell us what we need to do on that, if anything.
Welcome, Mr. Decker.
Welcome. I did not include the time frames in there because that's governed by federal law, and there are, it's typically 180 days or 300 days, depending on the type of harassment that you have to resolve the complaint internally. If not, then the person is then free to file the complaint with the EEOC and instigate that process. So whenever an employer or other entity receives a complaint like that, it's in their best interest to do their due diligence, their investigation, as promptly as possible. So you don't gain anything by waiting. So I didn't believe it was necessary to put a time frame in there. The federal laws apply, and it's in our best interest to do things as soon as possible.
Thank you, Mr. Decker. Any further follow-up, Senator Lucas?
Not a follow-up, on another one.
Sure.
When we talk about staff members discussing bill drafts and so forth with the legislator committee or caucus, and when we use the word caucus, I assume you mean the party caucus, because we could have caucuses of other common interests, like Cowboy Caucus or Sioux Falls Caucus or whatever it may be. And I just want that could be worded differently and try to eliminate the political ramification and just put in there whenever a group of legislators want to work on a common issue, they could do that, whether, you know, it wouldn't have to be limited to a party, political party caucus.
Senator Teason?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I don't limit the word caucus to political caucus. I think your example is correct, that there could be other groups of legislators that are wanting to propose something and need assistance from staff in preparing that, and I think that would be appropriate. So I think it could be political caucuses or other caucuses of legislators.
Follow up? Or continue on.
Are you comfortable with that, then, Mr. Chair, as a member of the Cowboy Caucus?
I guess so.
Will you be working with your other three caucus members, then, to bring forth some strong proposals this session?
I highly doubt that they're worth even talking about.
Leave it at that.
Further comments, questions? Proceed then, Senator Teason, with your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Yes.
The other one I had was the work hours. During the summer, I thought staff kind of worked 7:30 to 4:30, and where we have that 8 to 5, and I don't know if we want that to be that specific. Can they have the flexibility if they want to work 7:30 to 4:30 in the summer? Can they do so?
It's up to us. That's what he's looking at. Up to the chair, up to the executive director.
Mr. Chairman Doug Dicker, I would anticipate that the director would have the flexibility to allow flexible staffing during the summer upon request.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'm thinking that if I remember right, that somewhere in there it says the director has discretion to make adjustments, and we surely would do that.
All right, thank you. Senator Giesen, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move we adopt the Employee Personnel Manual as presented, with the exception of deleting Example 6 on page 5 and correcting miscellaneous typographical errors, and with the provision that this employee manual be reviewed on an annual basis at the beginning of each fiscal year.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Representative Westra. Any further speaking to that motion? Seeing none, I will have the secretary call the roll.
Senators Brown?
Aye.
Heineman?
Aye.
Lucas?
Aye.
Peters?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Representative Gosch?
Aye.
Hawley?
Aye.
Hoffman?
Aye.
Latterell?
Here.
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Tyler?
Aye.
Westra?
Aye.
Carson?
Aye.
Senator Maher?
Aye. 15.
Mr. Chairman, that's 15 ayes, 0 nays.
50, so the motion has received affirmative vote of 15-0, so it does pass. So, anything else, Senator Teason?
No.
All right, thank you. With that, I think we will proceed back to our scheduled agenda and go into a little executive session. Do I have a motion to go into executive session at 1?
Okay.
Motion by Carson, seconded by Westra. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are in executive session at 1:23. Ruben, you want to stay? Corey would like you to stay. Yeah, exactly. And you can stay too, Fred. So, just for those on the internet, or on the internet, we're gonna.
Yes.
Okay, Speaker Gosch. Are you there? Representative Hawley.
Yes, yeah, I'm here.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen. We have everybody then. Everybody's back. So with that, we came out of executive session at 2:32. We took a little recess. We are now back online. Senator Brown, would you like to proceed?
So essentially what I'd like to do at this point is the personnel subcommittee had met this morning, and obviously we've had executive session here for a while. Essentially the task of that subcommittee was to start to identify and lay out a way forward for us to select a new executive director. After some pretty thorough discussion in both meetings, I'm going to come forward with the recommendation based on a few items that were discussed in this last executive session, so this would be different than what we had originally talked about this morning. But essentially, if you're okay, Mr. Chair, I'd like
yes.
to make this in the form of a motion. We're going to appoint a search committee comprised of four legislators. They would include Senator Soholt, Senators Teason, Representative Hawley, and Representative Westra. In addition, we would instruct those individuals to identify one other person outside of the legislature, but essentially from the corporate world, to serve on that search committee with those individuals. Those five individuals will be the voting members of that search committee. In addition, we'd have two non-voting members whose purpose was to provide input and perspective. Those would be Fred Schoenfeld and Ruben on the staff to come provide that guidance. The motion would also be that Fred Schoenfeld would be the nominal chairperson of that committee. The first task for that committee would be to engage with Director Schoenfeld in trying to identify potential recruiting / candidate search firms and to get several proposals or identify a proposal that they think is best and identify the costs. And then they would bring that back to the full e-board by January 13th. And so that it would also require another meeting, whether it be done, you know, distance-wise or in person here in Pierre. Members of the subcommittee, is that? And the other purpose for that committee would be to establish the job description and criteria for the job of the executive director and bring that back as well. Looking around to the members of the subcommittee, I just want to make sure that that essentially captures what we've just talked about. Okay. So, essentially, that would be the motion before you.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Soholt. Any further discussion on that motion? All right.
No, Mr. Chair.
Yes, there we go. Here we go. Yeah. Somebody.
Yeah, just so we can have a discussion on this a little bit before we go to vote. There were a lot of things discussed in the executive session, and this new motion is more in line with our discussion about taking our time, making sure we get the right person, and before we spend $50,000 to $100,000 of taxpayer dollars on hiring a search firm to come up with names, we first take a look at what search firms are out there and what they actually do for us and can't and what they will cost. So I do appreciate that. We do also have the recommendations by the subcommittee for people to serve on the search committee, not a hiring committee. Under statute, that is the job of the executive board, not a subcommittee thereof. And the third one, to establish criteria for the ED position, is squarely within a subcommittee's parameters and what you would expect of a subcommittee as they make recommendations to the executive board on things like this. So with that, I would support this motion to adopt not the original subcommittee report, but this version of it.
Thank you. Further comments? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed nay, and I'll have the secretary call the roll.
Senators Brown?
Aye.
Heineman?
Aye.
Lucas?
Aye.
Peters?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Representatives Gosch?
Aye.
Holly?
Aye.
Hoffman?
Aye.
Latterell?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Tyler?
Aye.
Westra?
Aye.
Carson?
Aye.
Senator Maher?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, that's 15 ayes.
Thank you. The motion has received an affirmative vote of 15-0. It has passed. Moving on to the next item. Search for $100. Off. We've did the personnel policy.
Yeah, we did.
Yep. Additional issue. On to the number three, board action issue number three, additional issues memoranda. Mm-hmm.
I can speak.
Yes, go ahead.
I can speak to that, Mr. Chair. As the members will recall, at the last meeting, it was discovered that
two of the requested issue memoranda had not been completed because of an oversight in assigning them. Following the meeting, we proceeded to prepare a draft memorandum on the Common Core State Standards, which was attached to the packet that was distributed in advance. I believe that this memorandum has been prepared in such a way that it can be useful without getting into some of the many complications which surround this issue. On the other hand, Claire Carlson is the original author of the memorandum is not available, nor is Annie, who is the secondary author. So if there are reservations or questions, this can be carried over, and dealt with at a later time. If you feel comfortable on the basis of a quick look, then I would ask that you go ahead and accept it. The second of the issue paper dealt with the capacity of township and secondary roads. It would be possible to factor up the 2008-2009 need study and compare that with updated estimates of revenue. It's expected that that would simply show that the gap is probably about the same as it was a couple of years ago, and this would have to be done by extrapolating the data, since the primary data are not routinely collected on this topic. I think that probably the motivation for this requested paper was to develop instead information about the negative economic and social impact from unfunded farm-to-market roads, and the original expectation probably was to hold public hearings on that subject. I don't think that that can be done on the basis of secondary data, and for these reasons, there was no quick fix on this memorandum, and I think it will just have to await the next cycle. I'm sorry this happened, but that's the best we can do under the circumstances. So if you're able to accept the issue memorandum on a draft on Common Core State Standards, that's an option, or it can be held over, whatever the board's pleasure.
Any discussion on the memorandum? Senator Heineman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The only thing I would question on the memorandum on page 3, and I guess this would be a question for Dr. Schaap, at the very top where it says the granting of race to the top funds and the granting of waivers to exempt states from certain provisions of NCLB were contingent upon a state's adoption of the Common Core Standards or other similar standards. I'm not sure that that's totally. I think I've heard the secretary say that those were not contingent. We didn't get the race to the top funds, but we had already, we did adopt the Common Core. So I'm not sure that that's exactly right, and I would just like to check with the secretary on that to make sure that is correct.
All right,
Mr. Chairman, I think that's a perfectly valid point. And with that, since we are going to have another meeting prior to January 13th, why don't we take this out of the record and pick it up after Senator Heineman
I'll check on that.
Absolutely. Do we want to do anything with the Secretary Rhodes memorandum? Do we want to adopt that?
Well, there's nothing to adopt.
Nothing much, sir.
Yeah.
All right. We will leave everything as is on them then. Thank you, Fred. legislation moving deadline for submitting budget to the legislature.
Okay, I can speak to this as well, Mr. Chairman. This was the legislation that Annie brought forth dealing with trying to provide the ORC fiscal staff with additional time to prepare budget analyses. I think there was discussion had on this at the previous meeting, and if memory serves, I think the board was ready to act on this, and we got tangled up on a date, one of those second Tuesday after the first Monday things. Annie has fixed the date and assures me that the one that is drafted in the bill is good for the next 12 years or something like that. So, on the basis of that discussion, the board never voted to adopt the proposed legislation. So that's what we're requesting now, if you're still of the same mind that you were before.
Do I have a motion to adopt the proposed legislation as seen in the handout?
So moved.
Motion by Carson, second by Heineman. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, motion to adopt the, it'd be 588V1034, Act to Revise Certain Provisions Related to the Annual Budget Report Submission is before you. All those in favor say aye, those opposed nay, and I'll have the secretary call the roll.
Senators Brown, Heineman,
aye.
Lucas, Peters,
aye.
Soholt,
aye.
Thiessen, Gosch,
aye.
Hawley.
Oh, Hawley dropped off. He had to go, so he excused.
Okay. Hoffman,
aye.
Letterell,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Tyler,
aye.
Westra,
aye.
Representative Carson?
Aye.
Senator Maher?
Aye. 14.
Six, seven, eight, nine, Mr. Chairman, that's 12 ayes.
12 ayes.
Zero nays.
It has received affirmative vote of 12 to 0. It is hereby passed on to the session. Next, we have joint powers.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Confidential agreement between with BID.
And you'll recall that this is the draft agreement that Doug Decker discussed earlier in terms of a joint powers confidentiality agreement. It's still in draft form. At this point, all we're seeking is the concurrence of the board, you know, to move forward with this effort. I think everybody that I've talked to thinks it's a good idea, and I would recommend that you authorize us to go ahead and proceed.
Any further discussion and or motion? I have a motion to Representative Tyler makes that motion, seconded by Representative Lateral. Any further discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And then the last item, approval of the printing contract.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. This is just the standard printing contract that we do every year. This is the only bid that we have for this. The we've agreed to do the small book. We're going to reproduce that with the photocopy, you know, as a separate contract. This is just for the larger bills, journals, and resolutions. It's standard. It's what we've done in the past. It's bid on a unit cost basis, so there is no upset figure in it. We have put you know, last year's numbers for illustration on the post-it note on the front page, so it will run in the $50,000 to $60,000 range. I don't think there's anything that I'm aware of in this agreement that's unusual, and I would request your approval, please.
Any discussion and or action? I have a motion to approve the printing. Motion by Representative Carson, second by Representative Hoffman. Further speaking on the motion to approve the contract, seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye, those opposed nay, and I'll have the Secretary call the roll.
Senators Brown.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Lucas. Peters.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Holly. Hoffman.
Aye.
Latterell.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Tyler.
Aye.
Westra.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, that's 12 ayes, 0 nays.
Thank you. The motion has received a vote of 12 to 0. It's hereby passed. That is the end of our agenda. Looks like we need a meeting date for January 13th. What time does the Search and Screen Committee want to meet that morning? What's that? Is the afternoon work for everyone? And then, you've got a retailer's event that night. The retailer is the 14th? I thought it was the 13th, but I don't know.
Well, I think there's one is the 13th, and then there's a chamber one on the other day.
Yes.
Okay. Well, they the
I would say we want to start your search and screen committee by 1 o'clock with a full e-board. What's on Friday night is or on Monday night is retailers.
Retailers on Monday night.
Yes.
That probably be a 5:30 start.
Five, six, maybe.
Six, yeah.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I think the hiring subgroup, is that what you're speaking about?
Yes,
that,
yes.
I would imagine that group would be doing their work prior to that day.
Yes.
And be just bringing the proposals for the e-board to consider and to take a vote on.
Well, you're still going to allocate at least 2 to 3 hours for that, considering what we went through today?
Yes. But I'm not certain we need to have...
So if we start, if we went on here by 5... Then back that off. 3, 4, 3, 2, 2 o'clock. Okay.
Sometimes the discussion.
Okay. I'm just being a realist here, so.
2 hours.
Okay. All right. 2 o'clock. 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock Central Time. We will kick it off, and welcome to session. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion by Carson, second by... Everybody's want a second. Westra.